So we're in this series, For the World, and it's a series that we did a little over a year ago when we started as a church making an intentional impact in the world. We have some things that we do as far as outreach, some that we call local impact, which means things that we do in our own backyard, ministries that we're connected to, things like O-Huddle and mentoring and connected to our schools, a lot of things that we do locally. And this series is all about the global impact. What are we doing to invest in the world? Because God is on the move across this world. And this morning is a different kind of morning, but I want to just remind you of where we're at, and then we're going to get into something pretty cool in just a couple of minutes. As we're talking about global impact, you saw the video there, which is the Great Commission, right? Matthew 28. This is where Jesus is with the disciples before he ascends to heaven. He says, guys, this is it. This is what I want you to do. And with this commissioning for him to the disciples is the commissioning for us as the church to continue in that ministry that God said. So this is what he said. He said, therefore, go and make disciples in all nations. Now, how many nations? You get star sticker. You get a plus right there. All right. So all nations, which is everywhere, every tongue, every tribe, every language, every continent, every country, every land. Go and do what? What does he say to do? Go and make disciples, right? Here at New Hope, we say we're not here to make fans, followers, or attenders. We want to make disciples because that's what Jesus called us to do. Disciples, we believe, look like this, that they're surrendered to God, that they're continually changed by the Holy Spirit, and they look and live like Jesus, right? That's a disciple. And so we want to help our church and individuals here do that and take those steps. And we're part of missions, helping people across the globe do the exact same thing, help people become disciples of Christ. And then he says, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. What is the end of the age? That's when he comes back. That's when Jesus returns. That's the book of Revelation. Jesus returns and sets everything back. He says, I'm with you, and then I'm coming back. That's good news, isn't it? He's with us now, and he'll be with us, and we'll be with him forever, because we are in Christ, as Christ followers. That's so good. And so this is it. This is what he's called us to do. And so we're doing it. We're investing. We're being a part of that, not just here, but across the world, investing in some missions work through Converge Worldwide, which is the network of churches that we belong to. It's a church, about 1,300 churches in the United States. I think it's a little over 150 missionaries across the globe that are doing this, that are starting and strengthening churches throughout the world, and we're a part of that story. Now, last week, I'm just going to remind us what we learned about last week. If you weren't here, we taught through Acts chapter 11, chapter 13. We looked at the Apostle Paul, and we looked at a pattern in the New Testament of what missions work looks like. What are the key roles, four key roles in missionary journeys or missionary work? And if you weren't here last week, this is what we talked about, okay? The four key roles that we saw were missionaries. Those are the ones that are sent. The ones that are sent from their homeland or their homestead or their home place to a new place where they're preaching the gospel. They're establishing churches. They're the sent ones with the message. That's a missionary. They're sending churches. There have to be local churches involved and invested in sending those missionaries and commissioning them. We talked about that with Paul and Barnabas, that the church at Antioch commissioned them. They prayed over them. The Holy Spirit said, these are the two. Set them apart for my work in another place. And they commissioned and then sent them. So we want to be that type of church where the Holy Spirit may call some people in our church to go. And we will go with them and we will bless them. We'll pray for them and we'll be a part of their journey into that. That's sending churches. And then we talked about encouragers. Paul the Apostle wrote the letter to the church in Philippi, the book of Philippians. And he wrote it with such deep feelings in his heart for them, like just love, because they were the church that supported him. They were church financially, they supported him, encouragement, they would send letters, and they just had a special place in his heart. And missionaries today need those kind of relationships with encouragers, those that may have the gift of exhortation, that they encourage people, and because missionary work is hard. You're going to hear in a couple minutes from a couple of our missionaries, and it's hard. They need people to say, we're here for you. We're praying for you. And so we're going to talk more about this today. And then the last one was investors, where we saw Jesus actually had the women that followed him as part of his disciples that were following him. And they funded Jesus' mission work out of their own means, provided for Jesus and his disciples to travel from city to city. So Jesus had missionary support, which is pretty cool. Jesus is our Lord and Savior and our model, right? And then we see the Apostle Paul with the church in Philippi, the same thing. They financially invested in him so he could do the missions full-time by the end and preach the gospel. And so the missionaries need financial support. And as a church, we are doing that. And individuals here, through what we do with Compassion International, some of you are directly financially supporting some kids so that they can have a way up out of poverty in Jesus' name. That's Compassion's mission. We'll talk more about that next week. But it takes investors. So those are the four roles that we're going to talk about this whole series. And we're going to help you guys figure out, where are you? What can you do to be a part of us as a church, being a sending church, being encouragers, all those kind of things. So we're going to continue to do that. Now, about a year ago, it was May or June of 2018, when we did this series, we started supporting two missionaries. One was Kevin McGee, and Kevin is on staff with Converge International Ministries, and his role is the director of U.S. engagement, meaning his job is to help connect missionaries with churches and partner them together so that that global work can continue to work and be even more effective. And he has a team around him now, which is awesome. There's like a team of six, I think, that are developing those and going overseas. And you're going to hear from Kevin in just a minute. We also started supporting David and Stephanie Connell. And they, in the last 6 weeks, actually, about 6 weeks ago, moved to the Dominican Republic. So they're new, fresh, on the ground. And their role is there in the Dominican to help pastors. They are part of a local mission there. They do some medical missions. But his role also is for Latin America, the Caribbean, and the Dominican Republic, that whole region. He's the director of that whole region to help the local pastors, to help equip them with leadership development, and continue to multiply and plant new churches to these unreached people groups all throughout that region, which is so cool of what God's doing there that we're going to hear in just a minute. With Converge Worldwide, you're going to hear it probably a couple times in just in some videos we're going to see. But Converge Worldwide's desire is this, and I wrote it down, it's that we are asking God for a gospel movement among every least reached people group in our generation. That's a huge mission. Like, within this generation, we want to see every tongue, tribe, language, everybody to have the opportunity to hear about Jesus. A third of the population of our world does not have direct access to this gospel message. A third. There's a lot of work to do. And there's a lot of missions work to do. And I'm glad and proud to be part of a movement of Converge that's saying, we want to go there. We want to invest in sending people there, because it's interesting statistics. I'm sharing stuff I wasn't going to share, but 80%, I think it's about 80% of all the funding from American churches for missions work go towards the regions that have already received the gospel. 80% of funds and missions work go towards those who have already heard, while only 20% goes towards these new and unreached people groups. 20%. Something's lopsided, right? And so we're part of a movement that's saying, we want to help flip that scale. We want to be a part of a movement that says, let's reach those people. Let's invest and do whatever we can. And so that's what we're a part of as a church. Now, this morning is a little different, like I said, because I'm not going to be preaching the whole time. Some of you are like, woohoo, all right? So some of you are like, oh, man. Thank you for that, if that was you. But anyways, but we are going to hear this last week, I was able to video chat with both of our missionaries and spend some time with them, about an hour I spent with them. But don't worry, they're not going to talk for about an hour. You're going to hear from Kevin McGee. And the video you're going to see in just a minute, it's a little glitchy from time to time. The lips kind of go out of sync a little bit. So I just want to give you a heads up on that, because it was video chat. So there were technical difficulties, but you can hear everything. And it's amazing to video into the Dominican with the Connells that are on the ground and being able to talk to them. Like, what kind of awesome technology we have today, right? Like, they're across the ocean and we're chatting, video chatting, and then their power goes out. Because, like, in the Dominican, you have power, but you don't know when you're going to have power. It's just going to go off from time to time. And so it dies. I'm like, they lost power. They went, fired up their generator, came back and said, all right, we're back online. And then they finished the conversation. So even with those limitations, we today get to hear from them. And I want you to be ready, because you're going to hear God's stories. And I want your heart to be ready for that, because some of you are going to hear something and the Holy Spirit's going to tweak your heart in a way. And so I just want us to be ready. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to first watch from Kevin McGee and hear about what God is doing in his role with missions. So would you guys just pray with me? God, we're grateful that we get to hear these updates from those that we support as a church. And as we want to learn and figure out how to help next as a church, each of us in this room, as we hear these messages, challenge us. Holy Spirit, speak. Encourage us and help us as a church, individuals in this church body, to be willing to do whatever you want us to do in response, whatever you're going to say and speak. So just lead this time as we join and listen. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, watch Kevin.
Hey, good morning, New Hope. It's so good to be able to be with you by video, and I'm so grateful for Pastor Tim and Nikki inviting me to just have a few minutes with you. It was a year ago that I got to preach there and became your first missionary, and gosh, I'm so grateful not only for the monthly support, but you took up a special Christmas offering, and I just want you to know that that money is bearing incredible fruit. Your investments making a difference. I'm just so honest to get to do what I do. Maybe a little story, a backstory would be helpful. So my wife and I planted Bethany Community Church in Laurel, Maryland in 1986. So I was just talking with Pastor Tim. So that was 20 years before your church was born. And so we pastored that church for 32 years. And then God captured our hearts with a vision that's the vision of Converge International Ministries. And if you were there last year, you hopefully still remember the vision statement. This is what we're all about. We're asking God for a gospel movement among every least reached people group in our generation. And so I've dedicated really the rest of my life, certainly the rest of my ministry, to seeing the gospel advance all around the world. You see the map behind me. Converge International Ministries is launching 20 new regional initiatives all around the world. And, you know, God's just doing some amazing things, raising up young leaders who just take my breath away with their passion and their vision and their, honestly, their willingness to sacrifice. So I just got to spend some time in the Middle East with some of them, and I'll tell you that story. But what Pastor Tim asked me to do was share with you just a couple of things that have happened over the last year. And so I'll just give you three highlights. And I'm just, again, so grateful for your investment in this. And so those of you that know me well would know that really one of the big passions of my heart is deaf people. The church that I led here in Laurel, Maryland, about one out of every five people that attend that church is deaf. The deaf are the least reached people in all the world. In every place, they're always the least reached. And so just a few months ago in State College, Pennsylvania, at the Converge Mid-Atlantic Regional Conference, we actually used that to launch deaf ministry on a national and international ministry sort of stage. So we had, for the first time ever, a fully accessible leadership conference, and deaf people came from as far away as Texas and Connecticut and all over to be a part of that. And just one quick story. So one interpreter and one deaf leader from Western Pennsylvania, they were so inspired by what they learned there that they decided to go back to their suburb north of Pittsburgh, and they've already launched sort of a deaf house church where deaf people can gather and hear the gospel. And you know, that's just the first little step, but what we're really hoping is to see a deaf project in each one of those 20 regional initiatives. The first two that we think will launch will be in Estonia and in Togo, and we have leaders in place there that are very excited about launching deaf ministry. And so I know there's some folks actually in your church that know how to sign, and gosh, we just want you to continue to pray with us, because deaf people everywhere are just so oppressed and they have no access to the gospel. In the place where my church has worked in Tanzania, there's 3,000 deaf children in one region and only 200 of them are in school. So that means 2,800 of them never have the opportunity to even have the gift of language, let alone to understand the gospel. So if you kind of keep that on your prayer list, we'd sure appreciate that. The other story I'd most like to tell you, and we'll link a couple things together, is just about some of the travel that I've done just in recent months. So just over the last month and a half or so. Converse, for the first time ever, brought all of our missionaries from Africa and from Europe together in one place in Germany. And so I got to have a leadership role there, got to speak to the missionaries and really just to encourage them. And so through the team that we have, you know, your investment is affecting literally every single one of our missionaries. We'll do the same thing with Latin America and North America in the fall. We'll go to Costa Rica to do that. And then next year we'll be in Thailand to talk to our Asia team. I think the two things that missionaries struggle with the most, one is just hanging in there, right? The encouragement. So, you know, the writing the cards and letters and things and being responsive, like praying specifically for their children, for example, things like that. Because missionary kids grow up and they don't fit anywhere, right? They're called third culture kids. So they fit where they're missionaries, but they don't fit at home, but they don't fully fit, you know. So it's hard. That's a tough challenge. The other thing is the financial piece. And, you know, your church is so generous. But one of the things that people can do is actually ask the missionary how they're doing with their finances. And if they're struggling, you know, you hit up a few friends and you know, $20 a month, if five people do $20 a month, all of a sudden you have $100 a month. And to our missionaries, that's a significant amount of money, you know. So it doesn't take giant amounts of money if a lot of people get involved. So, yeah, I would say those are the two things. Obviously, prayer, you know, that would be the number one thing on everybody's list. And so in that, we're going to actually be doing some training in the next year, starting with the conversion leadership in the area of spiritual warfare. I feel like I personally am not as far along in that as I'd like to be. And since our missionaries are going to the most unreached places of the world, we're going to have to all get better at learning how to pray for them and tearing down the strongholds. So, but after we left that conference, and we'll come back to that, after we left that conference, we got to visit our missionaries in the Middle East, some of them. And we have missionaries that work with Syrian refugees. And it's just an amazing thing to see what God is doing there. Imagine a Sunday night service where you just see row after row after row of women in their hijabs hearing the gospel in their own language and often for the first time. I got to preach in their church that morning. There's about 20 or 30 Syrian refugees who've come to faith in Jesus, and then there were some other Americans and some people from Moldova there that morning. And so I got to preach to them. But as we arrived at church that morning, this little boy came running up to me and he just shook my hand and greeted me really warmly. He's working on his English, and so he's excited to speak English with me. And so we just chatted for a few minutes, and then you know, then the service happened, and I got to preach, and that was you know, really neat. But then after the service, this little guy, whose real name is Hussein Mohammed Daoud, but everybody just calls him Dude, Dude came up to me, and he's like, "You're just like me," and what he was talking about is I was born with a cleft lip and palate, and so was he. And so I got to talk to him just about, you know, our shared story around that. And but I want you to think about the impact of the gospel in the life of this little guy. Because he was growing up in Syria, a nation racked by civil war with, you know, Islamic fundamentalism. He could have easily been killed in the civil war. He could have easily been sucked into radical Islam. But now because of the gospel, the whole trajectory of his life is changing. You know, he's in school and he's around people of peace, and you know, it's just his life will be radically different because Jesus loved him through people like you and through our bold missionaries who are serving over there. I can't really tell you their names, but I can tell you that in Lebanon we have a team of four, a single man, a single woman, and then a young family. And they're just living on the front lines. To go visit with them, we had to go through UN checkpoints. And, you know, it's just a really tough place to be. But they're just loving the Syrians in the name of Jesus. And it's really a powerful thing to watch. And that leads me to really the last thing that I wanted to talk to you about. And that's, you know, the conference was all about encouraging our missionaries. But I actually accepted the role that I have because for our missionaries to thrive and for us to have the missionary force that we need, we really need our churches engaged. And so I didn't mention it at the beginning, but my title is actually I'm the director of U.S. engagement for Converge International Ministry. So my job is to help churches like New Hope discern their calling in the world. I know Pastor Tim preached on it just in the last week or two, and And, you know, God's calling New Hope to impact the world. Now, you're already doing that through the missionaries that you support, through me and my team, through the Connells. But I believe that God has a bigger place in the world for you guys. We talk often about Ephesians 2:10. In Ephesians 2:10, it says that we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good work that he's prepared in advance for us to do. And so God has prepared work in advance for New Hope to do. And not just here, but around the world, as your pastors have been teaching you. And so we're excited that we now have a full team of six that are working to help churches engage. And I'll just tell you about three of those ways that are important. One is the deaf ministry piece. We have a woman on my team now who grew up in an all-signing home. All four of her grandparents are deaf. Her father is deaf, and her mother was an interpreter. So she grew up with sign language as her first language. And so she has a master's degree in deaf education. She's worked around the world already, even as a young woman, doing deaf ministry. And so together, we're helping churches all across America engage with the deaf people here in the hopes of raising up deaf missionaries to go to all those places around the world. The other two I want you to know about, and then I'll wrap it up. We're developing coaches all across America. We want to have at least two in every one of the 11 districts of Converge that can help churches go through a process that's a proven process to really discern where in the world God's calling them to go. And then we're already seeing the churches that have gone through it find incredible synergy as they discover the unique things about their church that match the unique things that God is doing around the world. And so we're excited for New Hope to enter that process. And the last thing is we're seeing churches now begin to work together in unprecedented ways. So the church that I was called into ministry from is called College Avenue Baptist out in San Diego, California. And they have a Burmese congregation that meets on their grounds, and they often send teams back to Myanmar. Then in addition to College Avenue, we have Pastor Dan Nold and Calvary Church in State College, Pennsylvania. They're also passionate about Myanmar. So here's two of our great churches that have been working in the same place, but they didn't know that the others were there. So now we've got them linked together and many others joining them. And that's just one example of these networks of churches that we're now building who can work together. So I'm excited to see who God's going to be calling New Hope to work together with too, as God raises your global impact. So again, thank you so much for your support. Thank you even more for your prayers. The devil is not happy about what we're doing. And so I didn't talk about the hard parts, but we see spiritual attacks on our missionaries, especially all the time. And so your prayers for them are really appreciated. And so good to be with you, and thanks so much.
It sounds like the stuff that started in the book of Acts is still happening, doesn't it? Like, God is still on the move. It's so cool. I was jealous of Kevin. I'm like, why couldn't I be in there with all those missionaries? Like, because he also shared with me afterwards, he was like, the encouragement he received from all of them was just off the charts. He's like, the things that they go through and the things that they press on towards and the strongholds that they have to break through spiritually in those regions is just, it's unheard of. And then we come back to the United States, and honestly, we have no barriers. And I'm like, okay, God, wreck me a little bit. Because if they can be doing that in like dangerous territories, I can probably be doing more in my own backyard, right? So I was encouraged by Kevin's update. Now, we're going to hear also right now from the Connells, who are in the Dominican Republic. Now, if you don't know the Connells, they actually moved from Mansfield. So they were living in Mansfield for many, many years. David was in a corporate job. He was an office guy, a business worker. And he felt the call that God was calling them to do something more. They had taken a number of trips to the Dominican and been back and be like, you know, those trips were fine, but then God did something in their heart. You're going to hear a little bit about that as they're going to share in a moment. And Stephanie was actually on the staff at Berean Baptist Church over in Mansfield, which is our grandparent church, which is so cool. Berean Baptist planted New Hope in Loudonville, which planted New Hope in Worcester, and so they're our grandma, all right? So that church has invested a lot into us, and so there's a lot of connections with us and the Connells. And so I was glad to and honored for us as a church to partner with them in what they're doing in their role. And so I just wanted to give you some of that background with them and where they're at. So I want you to listen to this because Kevin is he is a operational guy. If you heard that right, this is what we're doing, and you're about to hear from David and Stephanie, and they're in the journey. So you're going to hear more stories and storying about their own calling and some amazing things that God did in the process to get them to where they're at and how he has shown up. And so go ahead and watch the Connells as they share their story of what God's doing in the Dominican.
Well, hi, everybody. My name is David Connell. This is my wife, Stephanie. Mm-hmm. And we are missionaries located in the Dominican Republic. And we're grateful to everybody there for being part of our team, part of the partnership that God has brought about to bring us here. And we have two ministries, really. We have one that's local here in the Dominican Republic, and my wife Stephanie is very engaged in that. Especially, there's a church part to it. There's a school, Christian school, K through 12, and Stephanie, and even my daughter, who's here, Melina. We have three children, and 18, 16, and 14, two girls and a boy. And my one daughter is actually going to be helping teach this upcoming school year as well, as will Stephanie. And so we're engaged in a ministry here, and a little medical outreach also. But we're also engaged, you know, Converge, as we got involved with Converge, they asked me to help with the entire region. So kind of Mexico through Brazil, really, and how do we impact the entire region, engaging with other organizations, engaging with other missionaries. So they've asked me to be the director of the regional impact team, is what we call it now. And so we're starting to spread our wings, if you will. We just came down to the region, actually, just about a month and a half ago now. And so we're just getting going, and it's been an exciting journey already, and it's just beginning. So I wanted to share a couple of examples or stories with you of where we have seen God move. And one of them was really on the very front end, when God had been working on us and pulling on us, and we knew that he was asking us to really step out of the boat and surrender our lives, surrender, you know, everything that we had known and we were comfortable with in our lives, and go on to the international mission field. Mission field is everywhere, but he was asking us to go internationally. And, you know, we were in that moment of can we do this? You know, can we really take that step of faith and really move our entire family and change our entire lives? And so at one point we were the Converge leadership meeting. They were asking those who have been considered to be in leadership. And so we went to the meeting out in Arizona, and God was really pulling on us, really working on us through the meetings, and we knew we had to make a decision. Are we going to do this or are we not? And been wrestling with God, wrestling with ourselves through that time. You know, on the flight back, we had seats that were located in the very back of the plane. And we were just getting heading into the airport, and we had moved through security, and you know, it's kind of, man, I hate to be at the back of the plane, you know, you can't adjust your seats, long flight. And so I checked the app one more time, and there's actually, because it was a full flight at that point, we were told, and we looked, I looked the app one more time, there's actually two seats that were beside each other about halfway up the plane. And so we were just like, oh, thank you, Lord, just a little blessing there for our trip back.
So yeah, we sat down, and I was the middle seat and Dave was the aisle seat, and there was a girl sitting next to me, and I could tell immediately she was, you know, of a not American looking, you know. And so I sat down, and I said hello, and she just kind of smiled, and then she went back to her phone, and I kind of glance over, and I see that she's writing something down on her paper, and then she was talking, I think, too, in Spanish. And so I could tell she was speaking Spanish. So I said, oh, this is interesting. You know, we're trying to learn a little Spanish. And so I eventually turned over to her and just said hi and introduced myself, and she said hello. And then I asked her where she was from, and mind you, we're in Arizona. And she says, I'm from the Dominican Republic. And I was like, oh, wow, that's amazing. I said, we are actually at a meeting this week about becoming missionaries in the Dominican Republic. And she was like, oh, you're kidding. So we got talking. And after a few moments, she just broke down and started bawling, just crying her eyes out. And, you know, this was probably a 2.5 hour flight, I'm guessing, from Arizona back. Where were we going through there? I think we had a layover somewhere that she was going to catch another flight. So she actually was now living in Florida for a brief period of time. But she just started crying. And she says when she found out what we were doing, that we were going to be missionaries, she asked me about abortion. And what would I say to a girl who had an abortion? And what would I say that Jesus thought about her and what she had done? And thankfully, years ago, I actually did some pro-life counseling at an abortion center in Columbus, Ohio. And so I shared some of the things with her, obviously knowing that she was probably asking for a personal reason. And after I shared a little bit, she admitted to me that she had just had an abortion. And so the course of that entire flight, she gripped my hand, she cried on my shoulder, we prayed, we talked about counseling, we talked about what God thought of her. She was so ashamed of herself. She told me her situation and how she came to the United States to marry a man who abandoned her, and he told her that he would not have anything to do with her if she had this baby, so she had the abortion, and he still had nothing to do with her, and she was just ashamed. And so we talked about God's forgiveness, and then even more, as if this wasn't an interesting story enough, in the middle of this session, I see this woman in front of us in the seat kind of keep looking back, and I can tell she's hearing part of our conversation. She interrupts and says, I'm so sorry, I don't mean to be eavesdropping, but I heard what you guys were talking about. And she slips her hand through the seat with a business card. And she said her friend is a counselor for women's issues like this in the very city that she was living in Florida. Mm-hmm. And she was a Christian. And so she gave this girl the card and said when she gets there to contact this lady, and she would help her with the counseling. And so before we got off the flight, she grabbed my face and looked at me and said, when you go to the Dominican, tell people about this. Tell people that they don't have to do this, that they don't have to have an abortion. And if they have had one, help people. Help people know that God forgives them. And that was the biggest confirmation we could ever receive. The fact that our seats were changed, that she happened to be from the Dominican Republic, was just, and Dave is sitting over next to me this whole time, just like, he's hearing the whole conversation, but at no point did I get a chance to even look at him or talk to him, because the whole time I'm turned, and he's just over there, like, kind of hearing parts of it going, oh, my word, I can't believe this is happening, you know? So we kept in touch a little bit with her, and then she had never responded to our last couple reach outs, and I'm not sure if they even went through, if she got a number change, I'm not sure, but she said she was doing well the last I talked to her, so.
And just God using, right? God using Stephanie to impact another person. That person happened to be from the Dominican. In the moment, we're like, "How are you calling us to go serve the Dominican people?" And it was just a great, you know, really gift from God from so many different ways, but certainly from us as well. Just knowing that this is where God was asking us to go and to serve was an encouragement. Once we had decided and we were on our way, heading here and arriving here, it was a challenge. It was a challenge, right? Because everything was different. The language was different. It's very hot here, and it really doesn't let up. And so our body's adjusting to the heat and dealing with that. And electricity kind of comes and goes. You know, it's not very consistent. And so having to deal with that and try to figure out how do we best live within that situation, and just getting everything set up. Didn't have any appliances, didn't have, you know, a lot. And so the Dominican people that we'd already that it had established were just wonderful. They were just amazing, coming alongside us, the body of Christ, right? Just doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter race, language, anything. The body of Christ is united, and just to see that laid out for us, God just blessing us through his hands and his feet from other people from other parts of the world was just amazing, and it was wonderful as they helped. And we certainly saw God move throughout that time, different examples of, you know, we had shipped our car here and we're having a hard time getting it out of customs. You know, they were holding it up for various different reasons, and we were trying to get it out. We'd go to the port and we're trying to get it released, and my Dominican friend Dario, he was just wonderful in trying to work all the system and getting everything correct and all the paperwork, and we'd gone back several days and hoping that it would be released, and it kind of came to this point of it's just not going to happen. There are many times where they just hold on to it and they do what they want with it. It's not the most, you know, up and up system, so to speak. And so he came back out. It was probably 4 o'clock the second day, and he's just like, I don't think this is going to work out. We'll have to think about another approach to take. And so we were just sitting there in his car out in the parking lot, and we just said, you know, well, let's pray. Let's just pray. And so we sat there and just, you know, prayed out to God, just to ask God, will you please help? You know, we don't know what to do. Will you please, you know, just provide us some guidance and what steps to take? What can we do? We work on, you know, can you move in the people's hearts and just open this door for us and this, that, and the other? And he said, okay, let me just give it one more shot. So he goes back into the building, and he was gone for maybe 10 minutes, and he comes back out and has a wide smile on his face, and he gets in the car and he goes, you know, I think we got this. I think we're going to get the car. And so they had us go to another place and engage with them, and had to go through multiple other things. And ultimately we drove away from that place with the car. And so it's just another example, right, of just God answering prayer, God being with us, God guiding things. And it's just an encouragement. And sometimes, you know, we say that, right? Oh, but let's pray, or let, you know, pray to God. And it's easy for us as Christians to say that, but do we really believe, right? Do we really believe that he's hearing us? Do we really believe he will answer, regardless of what the answer is? And so many times, I know, at least in my walk, that, you know, my faith isn't quite there. You know, I know it's the right thing to do, or I lack a little faith, and yet it was just a wonderful encouragement that sometimes he does say yes, and sometimes he does answer us right there in the moment. And it was an encouragement knowing that God is with us in that particular moment. At one point, we'd engaged with another ministry up in Santiago, which is a couple hours away, and up in the mountains, and in a small little village at the top of the mountain, really. Mm-hmm. Beautiful place. And so we went there, and there's a pastor, and he's planted a church, and they're building a church, and they're having a little vacation Bible study type of thing. And so there's one of our friends from Ohio, and some of the people from her church, and also one of her friends from work had come. And so we met with them, and we were doing a little vacation Bible study there. And her friend had grown up Roman Catholic and then converted to Judaism when she got married. And through the course of the time spent here, one of the pastors from the church spent a lot of time talking with her. I got a chance to really talk with her, laid out the gospel, and just dove into a lot of questions that she had. And it was just a good time and an interesting time. But God was moving in my friend from Ohio's friend's heart, who had come there on a missions trip. And she was really asking a lot of questions and seeking out what is this Christianity. She watched what was going on and things we were saying.
She came just as a translator. She wasn't there for any Christian reason per se. Yeah. My friend had been inviting her because she spoke. She was from Chile originally. Yeah. So they wanted somebody who could translate. So that was my friend's way of getting her there, was to keep saying, we need somebody to translate. So her goal was just to come translate, yeah. Really. So
this is the experience of coming to the country. And through that time, ultimately, she made a profession of faith. And by the end of the day before they went back, we actually baptized her in the ocean before she left. And so she, what an interesting, it was a good connection because I had grown up Roman Catholic. And so there was a lot of common ground, a lot we talked through actually of the roots of that and how Judaism fits in the story. And it was just a great time and great to see God, once again, God moving in unexpectedly, you know, no anticipation that on her part or ours that she would open her heart to something different. And so that was another encouraging little story that we've experienced already in the short amount of time we've been here. Yes.
Yeah.
Exciting and interesting. And yes, a lot of times we don't even realize, you know, we're just going about day to day and he's just pops up. You know, he's just popping up here, there, and everywhere. And sometimes we don't take enough time to actually have these types of conversations to really think about it and to recognize it. You just go from day to day, you know, and you're moving through life. And it's important, I think, for us to stop and build these little mental altars, right? Of God showed up here. God showed up here. God showed up here. It's good to do this and to reflect upon him moving. You know, and he's active. He's active. On the move.
We are definitely not people who could have said 10 years ago we felt called to mission. We knew we were called to missions. We were both not believers as children, or weren't believers until our mid to late 20s. Didn't feel a call to missions even for the first 10 years of our walk with Christ. So, you know, God isn't looking for a specific checklist of what a missionary looks like. I never in a million years would have believed if you had said to me 10 years ago you're going to be living in a different country. I would have probably laughed in your face and said, there's no way. God just uses events and circumstances in your life to change your thinking and slowly walk. For us, it was, you know, some people definitely feel that call and know it differently at a younger age maybe or even later in life. But for us, it was just kind of a walk. And as Dave always said, it was two analogies. One of them was, you know, you're in a dark cave with that little headlight on your, like a miner's light. You can't always see the end, but you just take that step in front that you can see. Or you walk through a door until you get to another open door. And that's really how our walk has been. It has been a slow process of walking through doors that God has opened and seeing if they're going to get closed, praying, Lord, if you want this not to happen, close this door. It wasn't closed, so we would continue to walk through it. And it's been this process of getting us to this point where we're willing to go. And it wasn't maybe typical. And I can say that we are nothing special. We are not anything exceptional. We are just normal, average people. And so that's my challenge, yeah. Is that anybody who feels anything yeah, stirring yeah. like that, you know, and you might hear the enemy say, oh, you're never going to be willing to do something like that. You're not equipped enough. You're not, educated enough. You know, that was what we dealt with probably for a long period of time, was getting over the obstacles of Satan putting those lies in our head, trying to convince us the reasons why we shouldn't go. You know?
Yeah, it's important to remember God's not looking for great capability. He's looking for our availability and just being willing to say, Lord, use us however you see fit. You know, our lives were bought at a price. So what would you have us do? Do with us what you will. And then he'll make happen what he wants. You know, one of the things that as part of Converge, we internationally or globally, from Asia to the Middle East to Latin America, we have a common vision now that we want to see a gospel movement among every least reached people group in our generation. And we want to see the Holy Spirit move in and transform communities and people groups now in our generation. We want to see that happening now. And part of that is to engage least reached people groups. And so that's part of what Converge is asking me to do in Latin America, is to partner with other organizations, to find missionaries who are willing to go to various different places throughout Latin America and come alongside some of the native leaders here and help them fulfill the vision God has for them in Latin America to reach the least reached people groups. And we've obviously see that God is on the move here. We've experienced personally. And so I would just encourage anyone there at New Hope that, you know, if you sense at all that God would like you to not just surrender your everything to Him, because He's asking all of us to do that. But if you're also feel that desire of, yeah, I want to go experience Him in another country, among another people who've never even heard of Jesus, yeah, that's something that is intriguing to you, and that maybe God's just kind of working on your heart, even as we talk through some of the stories of seeing God move, I really encourage you to ultimately contact me. Get a hold of me through Pastor there, through Converge website, however you may want to, because God is on the move here, and He wants to build a greater team to make an impact, to reach the least reach, to see Him glorified in ways and in places He hasn't yet. So I'd love to have you on my team. I'd love to see all that God's going to do through all of us. So thank you. Thank you, everybody, for all that you're doing. Keep praying for us. Thank you for your support. And I look forward to possibly seeing you guys, some of you guys here in the Dominican in the near future. Thank you very much.
It's encouraging to hear those stories, right? Like to be reminded, maybe for us where we are, to have our eyes open to what God's doing in our lives. Those moments where we don't have to in the United States depend on our faith as much because we have so much comfort. I think it's when our comforts get removed that our faith grows, right? It's when we see through a different lens, it's when we're challenged to experience new things that we have to trust God. And so maybe in our own backyard, that's the personal challenge, I think, for all of us. How can we make ourselves a little less comfortable and step out in new ways of faith to see God work and move? Because he's doing it here, just as He's doing it there. And I was encouraged, you know, by my conversation with them, and I wanted us to take the time, even though it's via video, to understand that what they have to say and what they're sharing matters. It's important to us as a church. That's why we're given a whole Sunday to hearing the testimony and the encouragement, and for us to stay up to date. Now, I have a few things to challenge us on, and it's, so what is our part then? What's our part as a church? What's your part as an individual for the missionaries that we support? Well, I'm asking our church to be a church of encouragers. And that would be the people that respond to them, that are praying for them regularly, that stay up to date on what's going on with Kevin and the Connells, and they have a monthly newsletter that they send out with lots of updates, and you can sign up for that. And this is what we're going to do this morning. If you have a worship program, on the bottom of your worship program, there's that Connect card. On the Connect card, you're going to see on the back of it a new checkbox in the response section that says, I think it says missionary updates. This is what I want you to do to be an encourager. I want you to give us your name, your email address, and then on the back, check that. I want missionary updates. And we'll send your contact to each of them, our missionaries, so you can start receiving those newsletters every single month, and you can stay up to date and know what's going on and how to be praying for them. Now, here's the thing. When I was talking to the Connells, they say, we don't know who actually reads it. We know that it goes out there because not very many people respond to it, which is typical with newsletters, like, well, thanks for that info. And what they're asking for us, if we want to be encouragers, when we get those, send back a quick email to them. Just say, hey, got the update, praying for you guys, excited to hear, dot, 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 dot. And we'll be praying specifically over what you asked us to be praying for. So just even a small snippet like that to our missionaries speaks volumes, because they're like, we're not here alone. We have people with us. And so that's a practical thing I want our church to do, is to sign up for that and be encouragers of our missionaries. The thing that you heard Kevin talk about is being a personal investor. We are investing as a church. Each year we invest about $5,500 towards supporting each of the missionaries. And there's many of you that also give, I think it's $38, $39 a month to Compassion, that you sponsor a child. All of us as a church as a whole, that's about $7,000 a year that goes out. That's from each of you individually. So maybe as you get to know some of the needs, you might say, how can I invest personally in this family? And it may be you just figuring out when their birthdays are and sending them a note with some extra money that month so they can go do something as a family. It's things like that that you can also be creative in to encourage and invest in what God's doing there. And then the last thing that we're asking our church to step up in is that you heard him talking about wanting to see us, and we've been planning and trying to work on the steps for us as a church to take a missions trip to the Dominican, so that we can do two things: that we can go to the Compassion site where we sponsor kids and see the kids that are a part of us that we're investing in and have a relationship with, and help however we can there for a few days, and then to also go to the Connells Church and their home base and help support them and do whatever they would need us to do. So to do trips like that, it takes time, it takes money, resources, and it takes a team to be invested in that relationship with our missionaries. And so we're asking, if you feel like that can be your ministry here at New Hope, you want to be part of a team like that that meets, you know, monthly, just write on the back of your Connect card, missions team. Let us know that you're curious and interested in that. And as we develop that team, we will have an initial meeting and move forward from there. Right now, I asked the Connells, like, when's a good time to come down? And they said, not over the summer. A, it is crazy hot, and we would die, okay, if we're not used to it. And he said the best time to come is, like, in the fall, like October, because they're not as busy, and they'd have time for us to be there with them, because our goal isn't to make them more busy. Our goal is to help, and it's also beautiful temperature, beautiful weather that time of year, and travel's less expensive. And so probably by the fall of 2020, about a little over a year from now, we will take our first trip as a team down the Dominican. And so we want to work on that as a church and how to get there. So what is your step? You want to be an encourager? Sign up on your Connect card. You want to be an investor? Pray about how God would have you do that financially, and whether that's giving money to the church and marking it to our missionaries, and we will be sure they get it. Or you can directly support them through the Converge website. And you can give just on your own or being a part of the missions team. What's your next step? How can you get engaged more into what we're doing around the world? Now, we're going to end in worship, okay? We're going to make a proclamation as we sing together that we want God to set our hearts on fire for the world. We want God to set our hearts on fire, not for just the world too, but our backyard, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers who also need to hear the gospel. And you are the one who brings it. You're the one who can speak life into them. And so as we take this time to respond, we want God to continue to speak and to lead us. And so would you guys stand with us as we respond in worship and let God continue to say what he wants to encourage us.